Alrighty, and welcome back to Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. You're listening to The Drive Time. This is a special edition of our municipal election coverage of Consider This Live. Rob Washburn is in the studio with us. Of course, Rob Washburn, our community producer and professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. Joining us in the studio right now is Miriam Mouton. She's hoping for a seat on council. Accountability, approachability, effective, informed, dedicated, collaborative, respectful of different viewpoints. Miriam Mouton is asking you to vote for her, and you can go to her website, miriamforcouncil.ca, to find out more information. And Miriam Mouton, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks very much, Dave. Very nice to be here. Thank
you, Rob. Very glad to have you back. You know what? Honestly, I'm surprised you weren't running for mayor, especially with the acclamation of John Henderson. It would have been nice to see somebody that was familiar. Was that something that you even considered at one point?
Not at this time. The last term of office for this past election time. It was the time for me to consider if I was going to do that, and that was the time for me. And this time I'm involved in other community activities, and very happily so, and no, this is perfect. I've really enjoyed being a town councillor, and I'm very excited about the opportunity of working with the new mayor and new council.
So in coming back to council, having done two terms previously, what do you notice that's different, and how is your platform different in consideration of the fact that you haven't been on council for the last 4 years?
Even though I haven't been officially on council, mm-hmm. people have reached out to me to ask for help. Like, who do I talk to? What is the process? Mm-hmm. So I've had the opportunity to see council from the outside mm-hmm. after having been a member of council for two terms from 2006 to 2014. And what I noticed with this council, they're much more talkative in the council chamber, which is fantastic. I got the impression from them that they were much more open to explaining why they were voting the way they were voting, which I felt maybe, you know, it was a bit different before. I was the mm-hmm. new person on the block, so to speak, mm-hmm. the first term and possibly the second term. And so I watched this council with a learned eye. The other matter that has changed is technology has changed. We've lost a newspaper. People are trying to communicate. So the way that people communicate has changed somewhat.
And so what are you looking to do then, particularly in this issue of communication, because I know mm-hmm. that's a central theme in many of the races. What are you looking to do going forward that's going to be different and effective?
Well, I think that my past experience, having had some experience as a member of council, will put me in a good position to be able to lead pilot projects. And the big one that I will be offering to my colleagues, if I'm successful and elected to council, is to lead a pilot project for a question and answer period. I think the time has come that COBRA can handle it, and I think it has to be facilitated well. And that is going to be a huge but shall we say it's a tool in the toolkit of communication between citizens and council.
Well, there's been a lot of different points of view on this, and we've yes. had other people in that are running for council that disagree, that say that there's lots of opportunity for people to contact. There's public forums, there's public meetings, there's lots of email and all kinds of ways that people can get in touch, and they don't agree with the question and answer. Why do you think it's so important, and what advantage does it have?
Well, even in this day and age of advanced technology, I think the face-to-face communication, the dialogue in public, especially when it deals with local government, the dialogue has to be in public. It's important that other people hear what other citizens, other residents in other neighborhoods, what their issues are, what their ideas are, because honestly, in traveling around the different neighborhoods, there can be common themes. And I think it would be very beneficial to a local government that citizens are part of the conversation. And I think the big obstacle is a concern that it's going to bog the business of council down. But that proves that we need just a great facilitator. It is done in other municipalities. So I think we need to figure out what will work here in Cobourg and try it out. And I think if citizens will be open to trying something out. It may not be perfect the first time, but if everybody realizes that we're all mm-hmm. new at this, mm-hmm. Let's try it out. So let's find a solution.
You're saying, as long as because again, it's just one of those things where you have to get the rules by going through the process.
Well, I think I think there's enough comparables. There's enough. There are adequate comparables around in the community around us for other communities in Northumberland County and across Ontario. What works well? Let's try a sample and see if that works well with the way the Coburg agenda is set up. Also, I think the facilitation, limiting it to a certain period of time, realizing that you may not get the answer right there, there has to be a way of tracking. One last thing I will tell you, I have heard so often on the trail, a campaign trail this time, we call town hall, we send an email, we don't get a response.
Right.
So something's not working.
So let me get to a couple of things, because there's really a couple of things that you kind of raised, and I think it's really important that we maybe look at it this time around for our council. You talked about different voices in different parts of the community. Is it time for us to set up a ward system? Do we need to maybe break Coburg up into ward systems where people have a little more say, perhaps, in their own part of the community? Maybe people aren't being listened to. So that's one thing. The other issue, of course, then becomes, you know, some candidates in other parts of the county have said, you know what, we need to get out and talk to the constituents. You know, I know that when you were on council, I believe, if I remember correctly, you guys had at least one council session at the mall, where it was a little more open to the general public and gave the public a better eye on what was going on. I mean, it sounds to me, I mean, yeah, it's great that we have council and it's a very specific period, and if you want to get on the agenda, you got to notify the clerk, because everyone can still do that. That's very accessible. But by the same token, what we tend to get in those situations is, thank you for your presentation, now we'll move on. So there's no opportunity for the person to make a presentation and feel as though they're getting a response. And that's really the issue for a lot of electors out there. And it's even if they're from whatever part of the community, whether they're from New Amherst or you know, they're from the depot. I mean, the reality is people need to feel as though they're being heard and not just listened to. Because it's nice to listen to people, but it's even better when people feel as though they're being heard.
And to address those two points, the first, the second one that you raised about the being heard, listened to, perhaps because of technology, we are overwhelmed by communication. Like, how many times have we opened our computer and just had a string of emails? So perhaps we need to implement some sort of tracking system so that people are not forgotten. And it might just be the fact that the process is overwhelming what the human capacity is. So it might be a technical matter there that needs to be addressed in addition to policy. I know even during my time on council, the deputy mayor at the time said, he used an analogy, is that if you have the ball, don't drop it. You know, just make sure you hand it over to the person who can get back to, you know, to take some action or get a response, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. With respect to the ward system, I don't think that Coburg is geographically too big to work electing at large as we do now. So I am not convinced. I have not heard people say that it's time for a ward system. So I don't think so, not at this time.
I don't want to belabor this too long, but I'm really curious about how you're going to engage a diverse number of voices, because what often happens in these type of Q&A sessions is certain same people tend to get up and use it as a platform to grind their grist, right? So, you know, what's going to happen to people who maybe come from areas that are not as wealthy, or people who... voices we don't hear? How are we going to ensure that all voices are being heard at council and not just an elite few who happen to have the time and the energy and the resources to come forward and push their ideas?
Well, that's an excellent point. And at the beginning I said that there's a communications, or I suggested there's a communications toolkit. A question and answer period, I think, is an important part of that toolkit. But there are people who are shy or maybe have an issue that they don't want to broadcast, because now council meetings are on YouTube, which will essentially broadcast to the world. I think that we need to consult. There might be neighborhoods that have an issue. For example, they want a town hall meeting. They would like to be able to meet and have all the neighbors come and talk about what's important to them and their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The rest of the community, that might not be an issue. So I understand what you're getting at. Mm-hmm. I also feel, I've always felt and have taken the position that regardless of who is presenting at council, how they deliver their message, there is something in their message that is important that council needs to pay attention to. Some people are used to coming to council. They come regularly. But I would say that most people put a lot of effort into their delegations. Do you feel otherwise?
No. I'm sorry. I was distracted for just a moment.
Okay.
So I guess moving on then, one of the key things is affordable housing. We have less than 1%. I think it's 0.3%. Vacancy rate in Coburg. So I'm wondering, what are you suggesting as a solution for affordable housing, both from the entire spectrum, not just homelessness or Habitat for Humanity? There's quite a range. So what is your platform on affordable housing?
There was an all candidates recently, and I heard from the other candidates as well as representatives from the different organizations. And my view is that we have to, the new council has to be cognizant of their area of jurisdiction. And I'm not saying that to say that, well, no, we can't be involved. I think the local government is where it's essential that they need to pay attention to the needs of all there are citizens in the community, all the people of Coburg. So I had an opportunity to speak to two different people who have project ideas, and they wanted to know that if I was elected, how would I support this? They're both, I'm not going to can't give too much detail at this time. They're both fantastic projects. There are at least one willing property owner who's willing to pursue a partnership with a nonprofit that the town could be involved with as well with regards to affordable housing. One of the challenges that Prince Edward County apparently has, I saw this in the Globe and Mail, an article that someone shared with me, is that affordable housing has been switching over to Airbnb, and it's knocking out the number of available units that are affordable because there is less regulation for Airbnb at this time and that there's more money involved. So I think we need to be careful as a town. What the town can do is set bylaws, for example, registration of Airbnb or Airbnbs in general. So my platform is I think the local council needs to be involved. Mm-hmm. We need to be clear on what our area of jurisdiction is. And if someone comes up with a creative idea, we need to listen to it and see how we can help.
Okay, but part of our jurisdiction is, of course, planning and land use.
Yes.
We also have a number of homes that get taken back, perhaps on an annual basis for non-payment of taxes. That is within the municipal purview. What about negotiating an arrangement with the county where they would take over those properties to provide affordable housing? Port Hope has residents that I'm sure are left behind, and if you will, I don't like to use the word derelict, but what have you. I mean, all across this county, we have places that end up becoming vacant for reasons, you know, that are unknown to whomever. But those are properties that can be, if you will, appropriated for affordable housing.
Well, St. Michael's School is a huge project, and it's central, it's downtown, it's close to services. One of the points which you raise, which I think speaks to something that I support, is that affordable housing needs to be integrated into all neighborhoods.
Exactly.
It's not something that is, well, we'll build them over here. Mm-hmm. No. These people that it might be a change of life situation, it might be aging, it might be abilities. And they deserve to be part of a neighborhood and, if at all possible, to stay in the neighborhood where they live. So I think that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good idea.
Is that something that you would bring to council then if you were elected as a council?
Oh, I think I would need someone to come to me and say, you know what, we are interested in being involved in this. We need your support. Could you bring a motion to council to ask the town of Coburg to contribute something, like to set it out as to what the part would be? Then council could discuss it.
But surely as a councillor, you could set that ball rolling. You could
go
to corporate services, for instance,
and
say, hey, what are we looking at in terms of derelict properties on the rolls? You know what I mean? Something along those lines.
Yeah,
you don't need someone outside of council to give you that momentum.
I understand what you're saying is take the initiative, find out where those properties are, mm-hmm. what the status is, and can we get something going?
Well, that's what affordable housing yep. needs right now. I mean, we have studies that are ongoing, you know, Housing First and all of these other great studies, and everyone's talking about the county. But the municipalities, I mean, Bob Sanderson is talking about hitting the ground running when it comes to something along these lines. So what does hit the ground running mean for people who, let's face it, right now we have a large number of people. We have a great number of candidates right now that are talking about this. Travis Hoover, for instance, you know who's talking about it. Adam Bureau, who's on the DBIA, who's the chair of the DBIA right now and is running for council. He's talking about this because both of them have had exposure to people that have, you know, been one paycheck from homelessness. Right? I mean, we're talking about people who work in service industries who may need a ride to get into town to work. I mean, you know, this is a serious issue. And we have a number of counselors, yourself included, if I'm hearing you correctly, that are actually talking about this. So this sounds to me like those voters who have been disenfranchised for a long time may actually have a reason to vote this time around.
I agree. I think they do need to come out and vote and to support the candidates that will pursue actions on this matter.
Well, on that note, Miriam, we are going to take our last break of the hour. You are listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This is a special installment of Consider This Live, where we're asking you to choose these candidates who are now running for election. Let's consider it a job interview. We'll be right back.
We are live and local for Northumberland. Stay up on everything that's happening locally anytime. We are Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m., Northumberland 89.7 has a fabulous new feature, Radio Bingo. You can play right in the comfort of your own home. There will be $800 in prizes given out each week. Cards are available in Port Hope at Giant Tiger, 145 Peter Street, PharmaSave, 60 Ontario Street, BBC Convenience, 99 Walton Street, Uptown Variety, 166 Rideout Street, A-Plus Convenience, 68 Wellington Street, Garden Hill Store, 3825 Ganaraska Road, Maple Leaf Smokeland Variety, 123 Peter Street. Don't miss Radio Bingo every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. An exciting opportunity to win prizes while helping raise funds for Northumberland 89.7, your truly local radio run by truly local volunteers.
Lottery license numbers M740399 and M740400.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jacob of SMM Law Professional Corporation. Are you in business for yourself or thinking of doing so? Or looking at buying an existing business? Or selling a business you own? Or perhaps you are running a sole proprietorship and think you might want to incorporate? SMM Law can help you with these and other business matters. Reach us at smmlaw.com or 905-372-3395 for competent and friendly service. SMM Law, we care for you.
What a perfect time of year to take a fall drive to Rhino's Roadhouse in beautiful downtown Beauty. It's still patio weather. Just put on a sweater and enjoy the spectacular view of scenic Rice Lake. During October, start your morning off with a Rhino's Early Bird Breakfast Special, only $3.99 every Monday to Friday. And don't miss their famous wings with fries and a pint for only $13 every Thursday. For reservations, call Rhino's or check out their website at rhinosroadhouse.com. Rhino's Roadhouse, located at 5078 Rice Lake Drive in downtown Beauty. A great place to meet your friends and make some new ones, too.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own All Creatures Great and Small,
your natural pet care specialists.
We have to tell you about a product we introduced a year ago.
CBD oil. Our clients are telling us it has changed their lives.
Arthritis, insomnia, anxiety, chronic pain.
These are just some of the issues that people and pets are addressing.
It's safe, effective, Canadian made.
And there's no THC, so you don't need a prescription.
All Creatures Great and Small. We're your local source for quality CBD. 7 days a week in downtown Cobourg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
A wide variety of music and unique programs covering many areas of interest. That's a Northumberland 89.7 difference. Check out our complete program schedule anytime at northumberland89.7.ca.
Okay, and you're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This is a special installment of Consider This Live, and in the studio with us right now is council candidate for the municipality or town of Cobourg, rather, is Miriam Mouton. Miriam, I know you wanted to say something after the break there.
Yes, on the matter of affordable housing, there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of presentation before a municipal election. election. And what this is my fourth election, and the issue of affordable housing is extremely important in our community. What I would like to do is encourage all the groups and people who have put so much effort in trying to get the candidates up to date with information, the statistics, and so forth, is to keep doing that after the election. Because in the past, I have found that things tend to dissipate. The attention tends to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's very important that that same passion before the election is carried through after the election.
One of the, moving on then, one of the things that is sort of becoming increasingly a municipal issue is the sale of marijuana. And now the Ontario government has opened that up wide open. And I just wondered where you stood on the retail outlets and licensing and bylaws related to recreational marijuana.
I would support the municipality establishing clear bylaws and policies. The matter of the selling of cannabis, marijuana, has been set down by the federal government and the provincial government. So it's I understand that it's the municipalities have an opportunity to discuss it and to decide whether they wish to have dispensaries within their municipal boundaries. In speaking with people, I do not feel that the issue is something to be feared. I think it's something that is part of our future. What I do feel very strongly about myself and in discussing with other people is to be very clear about the location. So, for example, our zoning bylaws can clearly establish where such dispensaries outlets can be located.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess the real question that I have on that one is because the province is saying that's great, but one of the concerns that some people have is, you know, municipalities are given the option to completely opt out.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've opted out, that's it. There's no getting back in. You're out. Too bad, right? So you sounds to me like you're in favor of being okay with it. Are you willing to stand up on the at council and say that? Because, I mean, I haven't heard the mayor say this, but we have a mayor who's been acclaimed. He's never even spoken publicly about this. Some people are concerned that he's going to try and want to opt out.
I have been flagged down riding my bicycle by people asking me this question, so I think it's on people's minds.
Yeah.
I don't think opting out is going to keep out the product from our municipality. I think is that get used to controlling it, because we're going to, whether we opt out or we opt in, we're going to have an enforcement issue. We are still going to have to spend budget monies in order to enforce. I'm aware of the story in Los Angeles. There were the licensing of dispensaries in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and hundreds popped up. And one of the ways the city dealt with it was to close everybody down and make even the legitimate ones, the licensed ones, reapply for their license. And they've done this over and over. The enforcement of non-regulated dispensaries might be an issue. So I think we need to step up and to be prepared. There's going to be a period of adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And then think the municipalities are right to ask the province for a piece of whatever revenue is going to be received.
In addition, I also feel that enforcement, like a municipality that has courts in its jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
there was a point where the court security was on the local taxpayer.
That's right.
And then the province stepped in at the request of municipalities and said, could you please give us some money to help defray the cost, because
right.
we're bearing all of it. So I think the same with the marijuana or cannabis issue.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you for being here. One question I always ask, I understand you have a top 10 list. Do you want to go through those? I usually give the candidate the last minute, if you will, to outline. This is a job interview, after all, right?
Oh,
you've done it before.
Right.
You've got experience. But this is a job interview. Why should the residents of Cobourg who deign to cast a ballot even throw a vote your way?
Well, I believe that I still have much to offer. I have experience. I am really excited about the opportunity to move forward. I've received some very good feedback. I'm also willing to work hard on behalf of people, especially to address issues on a neighborhood scale. And the top 10 issue that or the list that I wanted to bring to your attention doesn't have 10 items on it yet, because I'm still speaking with people, going door to door, receiving emails and telephone calls. And here are a few things that I would like people to know who listen to your show, and I know there's many, people are asking for a plow machine to follow the main plow to scoop out main driveways, big driveways, you know, because so can we do something better there? Apparently, there's cities in Quebec and Ontario that do this. Maybe it's time that we had that little after scoop. Do we need a festival grounds? There are people who really enjoy the celebrations, especially in Victoria Park, but some of them are really big and really noisy, and we have to respect the fact that that park is surrounded by residences.
Mm-hmm.
Communications from Town Hall, newsletter, and we talked about this before, about communications. Waste management, there is a pilot project in the East End, and I've already heard people concerned that they're doing all the sorting in their garage, and why are we doing this? But I know it's a pilot project by the county. Affordable housing, we touched upon. And I get back to the neighborhood plans, what I would call, this morning I had a meeting with someone, what I call a neighborhood connectivity plan, the sidewalk priority installation. How do we get to that? Well, I think the neighborhood needs much more involvement.
Well, I want to thank you again. Our guest has been Miriam Mouton. She is running for town council here in Cobourg. You can go to her website, miriam4council.ca, or give her a call at 905-373-0159. You will know where I stand, she says. You can count on being heard. Together, we will build upon what we do well, and we will work towards an even better quality of life for all of us here in Cobourg. I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time. Thanks to Rob Washburn, and this has been